I'm Nick Park, and this is the XXXY Files, a series of messages, podcasts, and videos from Evangelical Alliance Ireland on sexuality and gender, helping and equipping Christians to hold and share a biblical position with clarity and love. This is file number 12, Balancing Freedoms and Protections. As society and the church continue to move in different directions on how we view sexuality and gender, we cannot expect schools, governments, or other worldly agencies to do our work for us. It is the job of the church to teach Christian believers what the Bible says and to support Christian families. As we have said all along, the 21st century church may well end up looking more and more like the first century church. We hold to very different standards from wider society, which in itself can become a powerful act of witness. In an increasingly chaotic and unfulfilled world, the church can shine as a beacon of hope, love, grace, and truth. A church that looks like Jesus becomes increasingly attractive in a world without Jesus. But what happens if society tries to force their standards on the church? What if society tries to prevent us from living like Jesus? What if society tells churches that they can't teach what the Bible says, or that families can't raise their children to live by Christian values? It would be foolish to pretend that this could not happen. The last 2,000 years of history contains many examples of persecution and repression of biblical Christianity, sometimes in the name of atheism, sometimes in the name of other religions, and sometimes even by those who themselves claimed to be Christians. We can't guarantee that some government in the future will never choose to abandon basic human rights principles. Germany in the 1930s demonstrated how quickly that can happen. But we do ourselves no favours if we disengage from meaningful dialogue and withdraw into extreme doom-laden predictions. We need to contribute to public debate and ensure that the rights and protections given to others are balanced with respect for the rights and protections of religious groups. There are several areas where we can contribute to public debate and to framing laws that are fair and respectful. Let's quickly examine three major areas where debate is right now, framing future attitudes and legislation with particular reference to sexuality and gender. 1. Discrimination and freedom of conscience. 2. Protection of minorities and freedom of expression. 3. Conversion therapy. Now the first, discrimination and freedom of conscience, is about balancing protections. Minority groups need protection against discrimination. Some of us have been ministering the gospel in Ireland long enough to have encountered blatant discrimination against evangelical Christians, including services being refused by retailers and professions. But that does not mean that anyone should be forced to promote or endorse things that they find morally objectionable. This was highlighted by a case in Northern Ireland where a bakery refused to decorate a personalised cake with a message promoting same-sex marriage. The bakery was not refusing to serve gay customers. Anyone was free to walk into the bakery and purchase any cake they saw in the shop window. But the bakery had the right not to use their creative talents to publicise a message with which they disagreed. Now, this should not have been controversial. A gay baker should not be forced to bake a cake with a message saying same-sex marriage should be banned. A Catholic printer should not be forced to publish leaflets for the Orange Order. A vegetarian graphic designer should not be forced to design a poster advertising pork sausages. I own a small Christian publishing company. I should be allowed to choose which books I publish and not be forced to publish books that promote non-Christian values. It took several appeals to higher courts, but the bakery was eventually vindicated. Similarly, the US Supreme Court has recently ruled that a Christian website designer in Colorado cannot be forced to design a website for a same-sex marriage celebration. Hopefully, we are moving towards a consensus where creative and artistic businesses can maintain their freedom of conscience, but minorities are protected against genuine discrimination. Now, let's think about protecting minorities while still protecting freedom of expression. Minority groups do need protection. If you don't understand that, consider how the continued expression of hate against one tribal group paved the way for genocide in Rwanda. It is perfectly reasonable to have laws that limit one group of people from stirring up violence and hatred against another group of people. In some parts of the world, evangelical Christians are being attacked and even murdered because other groups are stirring up hatred against them. But giving protection to minorities doesn't mean that minorities are exempt from disagreement and criticism. People have a right to criticize religious beliefs and values. Vegetarians have a right to tell me that meat is murder. I have a right to tell them that they are wrong, and I will continue to enjoy eating meat. Muslims have a right to express their belief that Christians are wrong in our belief that Jesus is God. And I, as a Christian, have a right to express my belief that Muhammad was a false prophet. Atheists have a right to argue that both Christians and Muslims are wrong. And religious groups have a right to express our belief that certain practices, including those linked to sexuality and gender, are sinful. Balancing these two sets of freedoms isn't always easy. Sometimes foolish prosecutions are launched, such as the one against a Finnish member of parliament, who in a conversation on Twitter with another member of her own church, posted a verse from the New Testament on homosexuality. Thankfully, the courts have so far supported her right to discuss theology with a fellow Christian on a public social media platform. But we need to keep a close eye on this ongoing debate. Common sense suggests that we can reach agreement on such issues, but common sense isn't always that common. A third debate, and an area where legislation is envisaged in Ireland, relates to conversion therapy. This refers to the practice of trying to change someone's sexual orientation. There have been dreadful instances where people, including children, have been horribly abused in attempts to exorcise demons of homosexuality or in aversion therapy. Sometimes this treatment was voluntarily undertaken, but at other times it clearly involved bullying, kidnap, and even rape. The rate of success in conversion therapy is very low indeed. Some Christian parachurch ministries that claim to specialise in this area have ended up disbanding because their own leaders discovered that they were still attracted to people of the same gender. Now, there are a considerable number of Christians who want to live their lives by biblical values but struggle their entire lives with same-sex attraction. Many of them choose to live a celibate life. These brothers and sisters in Christ need the support of the church. Of course, many Christians spend their lives resisting other, different impulses and desires. Some of these are connected with sexuality, but others relate to other areas of life. We call this overcoming temptation. Hopefully, we would all agree that no one should be bullied or forced into anything, and it is surely wrong for any church or ministry to promise that they have some guaranteed way of changing someone's sexual orientation. We don't guarantee that God will instantly heal everyone who has a broken leg. But we must also remember that God is a God of miracles. And he may give us daily strength to resist a temptation, but he may also completely remove a temptation by the power of his Spirit. A God that cannot even remove temptation miraculously is not the omnipotent God that Christians have worshipped for the last 2,000 years. I can personally testify that God miraculously removed a destructive addiction to alcohol in my life, so I would be foolish not to believe that he can do the same with other temptations. Now, here in Ireland, the government is committed to introducing legislation to ban manipulative and coercive conversion therapy. That in itself is reasonable, but the devil is in the detail. A bill for the prohibition of conversion therapy was launched in 2018, but for the last 3 years it has been stuck in the Seanad. I understand it has not progressed beyond stage 3 out of 10 stages that are necessary to become law. And this bill appears to use language so broad that it would criminalise a Christian who prayed for someone who wanted to be set free from their feelings of same-sex attraction. Just think about that for a moment. As a pastor, I often have people who approach me for prayer. They say, "Will you please pray for me that God would take away this temptation I'm struggling with?" And sometimes God has completely removed that temptation, whatever it might be. And sometimes they have to continue trusting God on a daily basis to empower them not to yield to ongoing temptation. Such is the path of Christian discipleship. But I will not, under any threat of prosecution or punishment, refuse to pray for someone who has asked me to support them in their struggle against temptation. This is not some moral panic or conspiracy theory. I know of cases in Sweden, for example, where journalists pretending to be sincere Christians and secretly recording conversations have approached pastors and asked for prayer to help them overcome homosexual temptations. Therefore, it is very important that the final legislation introduced in Ireland would respect Christian freedom and not criminalise pastors for being caring. People have a right not to be bullied or abused, and they also have a right to pray and request prayer from others to overcome desires and impulses that they don't want dominating their lives. Rather than rushing to pass the 2018 bill, the Irish government commissioned more research on conversion therapy, which has now been published. Hopefully that is a signal that the wording of any legislation will be better. The published research does include this following quote. According to the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion or Belief, a person's sexual orientation or gender identity should not be treated using practices that harm. The right to believe religious scripture about the nature of sexuality and gender identity is protected by international human rights legislation. The right to inflict potential harm based on religious teachings, to change or suppress sexual orientation and gender identity, or for other faith-based reasons, is not. The debate is still continuing on this issue, and Evangelical Alliance Ireland, among others, will continue to monitor developments. We certainly oppose discrimination, hatred, incitement to violence, bullying, and coercion. These are sinful practices that Jesus came to redeem us from. Therefore, we believe that it should be perfectly possible to have laws and protections in place that prevent such things, but which do not interfere with reasonable freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and loving pastoral support for those who are struggling. We intend to be part of the debate and discussion, moving forward in truth and love. We are approaching the end of the XXXY files, but the plan is to produce an expanded and more detailed version of these teachings in the form of a book. We would also love to come to your church, your area, or your networks of churches and believers to present this material to a live audience and give more opportunity for questions and discussion. Next week, we intend to wrap up this series by returning to the question as to what the church has to offer those who struggle in areas of sexuality and gender. How can we present Jesus effectively and authentically to them? Do join us next week for episode 13 of the XXXY Files. And do feel free to get in touch with me at nick@evangelical.ie if you need something clarified or have a concern, a criticism, or a word of encouragement. God bless you.